This week, the world is looking to Easter, thinking that Christ was crucified. But Christ was not crucified. It took 300 years of anti-Semitism to arrive at the calculation of the date of Easter. See, Jesus Christ was crucified on the Passover. The Passover is the full moon. It's the 14th day. So the Passover falls on the full moon of the month Nisan, or Abib, whenever that comes. Anywhere from the third week of March to the third week of April, depending on the season. And they argued when they were fighting the Jews, because the heathens accused the Christians of being Jews for keeping the Sabbath and being Jews for celebrating the resurrection. And it was anti-Semitism that turned them away from the Sabbath, and it was anti-Semitism that turned them away from the Passover. And somebody from Alexandria, about 450 or so A.D., came up with a formula that Easter Sunday should be the first Sunday that follows the first full moon, that follows the vernal equinox. So the Passover will never fall at the time of Easter with that formula. And you remember when the full moon occurred? You've got to find the first Sunday following the first full moon, following the vernal equinox, to land on Easter. So you can be absolutely certain that this is not the memorial of the crucifixion because of that formula. It's a very strange paradox. If you want to read about the Easter controversy, you've got a bibliography of at least 1,000 books. It was a great debate that took place in church history for 3 centuries. Very bitter. Paralleled with the debate on the nature of Jesus Christ. Anyway, whether this is the season or not, it is always good to turn our eyes upon Jesus and to study Him. Molly and I are delighted to be here, and we've prayed that the Lord will specially bless us as we do just this during this week. Now let's have a word with the King. Eternal Father, we wait before Thee this hour, Thy Spirit to illumine our minds as we read the Scriptures that the Holy Spirit has given to us to reveal Thy Son. Make our minds wide awake. Give us the ability to comprehend. And above all, strengthen our wills to allow Thy guidance to regulate our lives. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. A sermon is an excuse to talk about Jesus. And I want to begin this week's meditation with the thought that Jesus was the creator of this system, of which planet Earth is a part. John 1, all things were made by Him. Colossians 1, Hebrews 1. Without Him was not anything made that was made. Jesus is the Creator. Find with me the 3rd and the 8th chapters of the book of Proverbs. Proverbs 3 and Proverbs 8. Look at this truth from a most interesting point of view. Proverbs 3:19. The Lord by wisdom has formed the earth. By understanding has He established heaven. By His knowledge the depth were broken up, and the clouds dropped down the dew. The Lord by wisdom has founded the earth. In the 8th chapter, Verse 1. Doth not wisdom cry, and understanding put forth her voice? Verse 22. The Lord possessed me in the beginning of his way, before his works of old. I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning, or ever the earth was made. In Psalm 100, keep your fingers here, in Psalm 104, verse 24. O Lord, how manifold are thy works! In wisdom hast thou made them all. The earth is full of thy riches. So is this great and wide sea, wherein are things creeping innumerable, both small and great. Jesus Christ is called wisdom in these passages. He is the wisdom that was with God in the beginning, before his works of old. Now he's called Jesus. What does Jesus mean? Jesus, Yahweh saves. Yahushua is turned through the Greeks into English into Jesus. Yahweh is the Savior. Is the meaning of Jesus, that is shortened Hebrew form. He is Emmanuel. Emmanuel means El with us. Elohim is with us. As Yahweh saves, Elohim is with us. He is also called wisdom. There are over 300 titles of deity in the Bible. I don't know how many there are. I've counted about 330 plus. And each one of these names of deity is a window that looks into his nature and his character. When we think of Jesus, our minds look in one direction. When we think of Christ, Christos, Mashiach, the Anointed One, we think of another. When we think of Emmanuel, we think of still a third. This morning I want to direct our minds to this further word, wisdom. To illustrate the significance of that, Solomon and the psalmist declared that in the beginning, wisdom created this world. What kind of wisdom? Romans 1:20, the invisible things of him from the creation of the world may be seen through the things that are made. What Jesus made are to be the vehicles through which we are to discern, otherwise inscrutable, qualities of Jesus Christ. And the skill, the understanding, the knowledge, the ability to do all these things are lifted out from them into the word wisdom as applied to Christ. And we are to think about that wisdom in Jesus Christ. Some 6,000 years ago, the Father and the Son and the Spirit came to the spot in the universe that was to be occupied by the earth. And all things that were made were made by Jesus. So he spake, and it stood forth. President Eisenhower complained that one of the greatest frustrations of his presidency was that he could speak and nothing happened. There were 12,000 bureaucrats who sat on the back of their hands and said, he will pass too. In the army he could say, and it happened. Jesus could say, and it happened. The psalmist and the writer of the Proverbs realized that for all things there was a time and a place for everything that is done under the sun. In order for this planet to float into space and begin its orbit round the sun, took power and an understanding of mathematics. Spun on its own axis, it spun in its own orbit. At a distance that was regulated from the sun by the essential pull of gravity. No farther, no closer. Closer, the toast would have become much too brown. Farther away, it would still be raw. It needed a precise orbit. And so wisdom put it into the precise orbit. And has never missed in all the passing, bleeding millennia since. 1 millimeter from that orbit. And then he separated the dry land from the water. He had made the dry land, he had made the water. And in the dry land were all the elements. Used to be 212 in prehistory when I went to school. I don't know how many they've found since. They used to tell me when I took physics that an atom was indivisible. That's what it means. A is the privative, not, and tom is to cut. You've heard of appendectomies. The tom is the cutting. So an atom is an uncuttable. So they told me, I should go back and get my tuition, shouldn't I? Now they've discovered that you can cut an atom into who knows what, and nobody will have an fortitude to stick out his neck to say that even what they have got, the smallest parts of electrons and protons, couldn't yet be cut. Wisdom set this up. And as this planet spins around the sun, within the heart of every atom is a solar system with particles spinning around other particles, maintaining gyroscopic stability in billions of atoms, that Jesus spake into being and made different in all the elements the atomic structure. Atom of hydrogen, quite different from an atom of uranium, quite different from an atom of gold. Christ designed this. Christ designed the atmosphere, the heavens, he called them. A couple of weeks ago, we had a seminar in Sedona, Arizona. And as we go up, we have a little altimeter in our car, and Molly keeps checked up when they say 2,000, 3,000, 4,000, 5,000. As you go up the California desert into Arizona, you come to some 3,000 and you see some Joshua trees. That's the altitude they like. You leave the yuccas behind and go to some other ones. You go high enough and then you see the pinyon pine, the fir, and higher up again you see others. How do those plants sense the difference in barometric pressure? that tells them it is best to stay in this little ecological level. You go up Howell Mountain on PUC. The airport at PUC is 1,844 feet high. No difficulty to remember. The biology department of PUC, through the decades that has been there, studied many, many things. There are mice that live in St. Helena that don't go above a certain altitude. Within a certain span of Howell Mountain, there are little animals and insects that only live there. They don't go above and they don't go below. You know, when I pass through those different altitudes, I don't know that I've passed. But those little creatures know, don't go below and don't go above. Who put it into their mind? There are plants who do the same thing. How do they know? How did the designer know? The Creator set them so. He designed that they should be. Wisdom. You can look at any life form you want in this brief survey of things that reveal the wisdom of Jesus Christ. We can only take samplings. Look at the human body. I am fearfully and wonderfully made, the psalmist exclaimed 3,000 years ago. Wonderfully made. When all systems are going in our being, and the Hebrew word for that is shalom, everything is at peace. Everything is going right. Nothing wrong with our minds. We haven't got any headaches. Nothing wrong with our muscles. Nothing wrong with our digestive tracts. Nothing wrong with anything. When all systems are go, and we're at peace. Vertical system, horizontal system, the word is shalom. How did the Creator know to do this? We put the right foods in our system, everything goes. We put the wrong food, we wind up with a tiger in our tanks. Can hardly live. Roll aid, come, what's happening? Peace gone. Churning volcano. He knew exactly what to do. He knew what each system would carry out. The Lord, by wisdom, made everything. And all the green grass and the plants and the trees and the shrubs take in our waste product, change them into the nutrients that they need, maybe mainly carbon, and give out the nutrient we need, mainly oxygen. So if you want to live healthfully and you want your plants to live healthfully, talk to them. They'll take your CO2 and change it into carbon and give you back oxygen. They will love you and you will love them. Nothing lives to itself. Everything, everyone is totally interdependent with everything else. And God's ideal. And the being who designed it and made it was wisdom. And wisdom is Jesus. In the early 50s, the National Geographic decided they were going to map all the galaxies. They have long since given up that project. They didn't have the equipment to look in. In 1950, they thought they had. Then they suddenly discovered electronic eyes that could go beyond the beyond the beyond. And every refinement enables them to see something beyond. Wisdom devised it. Wisdom is powerful enough to speak the galaxies into orbit. To set in motion innumerable systems that consists of many galaxies, all in their appointed course, never in collision. And you know, everything that turns makes a sound. You spin a top and it makes a sound. If we had ears to hear, we would hear the note produced by planet Earth, joining with the note produced by all the universal bodies in harmony, praising God. Not only do beings that have breath praise the Lord, but everything, animate and inanimate, join in a chorus of adoration to wisdom that set them in motion. In Proverbs 8, Jesus records through the Holy Spirit, verse 23. Verse 22 says, "The Lord possessed me in the beginning, or ever the earth was. I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning." What does this term "set up" mean? It's used once more in the second psalm, with which we will not deal today. The Hebrew word for "set up" is to pour as a libation. To pour over as a libation. Now, at every burnt offering, there was a meal offering and a drink offering. The drink offering, of course, was never drunk. It was a liquid offering of pure, unfermented grape juice that was poured over the sacrifice. It must pervade the sacrifice. It must sink through all the parts of the sacrifice. The burnt offering was presented. The cereal offering said, "All I have, all I have grown in my field, all my possessions and increase are gone." And then over it was poured the libation. Paul loved that thought. Notice what he said. Hold your finger here in Philippians and turn to Proverbs and turn to Philippians chapter 2. If you look in any modern version, NIV for example, verse 17. "Yea, if I am poured over the sacrifice and service of your love as a libation." It was the added marinand in which the sacrifice was marinated. It permeated, it permeated, it dissolved, it interpenetrated. God and Christ were upon the throne. And God poured Christ's wisdom that permeated his throne. It enhanced. It attracted attention toward. It revealed the wonder of his nature and character. The Father and the Son and the Spirit were the eternal God, the eternal trio. And then Christ's wisdom as Creator was poured over that throne, permeated every part of the government. This is Jesus, held up in the Old Testament as supreme. We see him march across the Old Testament. The Garden of Eden, he was with Adam and Eve, spoke to them. Outside Eden's closed battlements, he discussed sin with Cain and righteousness with Abel. He opened Noah's mind to the flood. He marched with Abraham from encampment to encampment, with his friends before the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. He sat under the oak of Mamre and feasted with them. He was with Abraham and Isaac on Moriah, He wrestled with Jacob at the Jabbok. He opened to Manoah's mind the fact that his son would be the strongest man that ever lived. Jesus walks across the Old Testament. The prophets spoke because the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify, Peter insightfully tells us. And then, Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. A mind that comprehended all he did, that designed all he did, that made all he did, that sustained by his power all that he had made, the flower of whose mind was poured out as a libation over the throne of God and filled the universe with wonder of his skill and his ability and his knowledge. Let this mind be in you. Who thought it not something to be grasped at, to be on an equality with God? There was nowhere he could go. He was God. There was nothing in deity that he aspired to. It was all his. But emptied himself. Theologians have looked at that word in amazement. Kenosis. Emptied himself. Of what? The farthest galaxy is a footstool in the march of Jesus Christ. He is there, and he is an infinity away. He is there. He empties himself of omnipresence and was found in fashion as a man, morphe, where invisible. The most powerful microscope would have to look to see him. As he nestled under a woman's heart. All knowledge was his. There was no knowledge in existence in the universe that was not in the mind of Christ. But he laid aside all that omniscience and pressed himself into an embryo. And had to learn obedience. He had to learn. Jesus did. He knew everything and then he knew nothing and then he had to learn. He was everywhere and then he was nowhere and then he had to grow. He carried the universe in the hollow of his hand. His power sustained everything that was made. Now he himself had to be carried by a woman on a donkey wherever she decided to go. He whose mind had made all decisions now made no decision except to make no decision, to give up. To empty self. To press himself as small as he could. Single cell. Helpless. What is this kenosis? Beggars the imagination. What is this self-emptying? He was found in fashion as a man. By Joseph. She is with child. I'll put her away secretly. Fear not, Joseph. That holy thing, thou shalt call his name Emmanuel. God with us. God in us. In whom? A perfect being in an unfallen world? What does the psalmist say in Hebrews corroborate? A body hast thou fitted me. Fitted? Fitted? Like my suit? One shoulder higher than the other, like the bear in Daniel 7? One sleeve longer than the other? Tailor-made, we call it. For what? For what Jesus had to do. And what did he have to do? He had to be tempted in all points, like as we are tempted. All points? Yes, so the Bible says. He was tempted in all points, like as we are, yet without sin. And that I think about often. I have my set of temptations and you have yours. Would you like to have mine as well as yours for a week? Would you like to have the temptations of everyone in the pew you're sitting in for a week? Would you like to have all the temptations of everyone sitting in this sanctuary this morning for a week, for a month, for 30 years? Would you? Would you like to go down to Skid Row or to Alcatraz and have all the temptations of the whole world on you for 33 years? See, I'm not tempted the way you're tempted. Some people are tempted to smoke. I'm not. I'm tempted to commit murder when somebody smokes. See, we're all different. Jesus was tempted in all points, like as we are, for years and years and years. Temptations thrusting him, 1 year old, 2 years old, 12 years old, 20 years old, 30 years old, pushing him this way and that, with a body specially fitted, bred through 4,000 years of heredity, so that he could be the common denominator for the battle and temptation of all mankind. Who did this? Emmanuel. Who is Emmanuel? Wisdom. The genius of the universe, the creator of the universe, the omnipotent sustainer of the universe, by his wisdom, chose to empty himself that he might grow 9 months invisibly, 33 years before all, in every circumstance, facing every temptation, facing all the darts of the adversary, that we might be saved. And that holy thing that Joseph was about to throw aside, thou shalt call his name Emmanuel. Thou shalt call his name Jesus. That holy thing that shall be born will be called the Son of God. And as we move through this week, God willing, we will look at wisdom incarnate. Wisdom in a body like ours. Wisdom in circumstances like ours. Emptied, laid aside, the independent exercise of prerogatives of deity, totally dependent on his Father, to demonstrate to the universe, to demonstrate to the adversary, and to demonstrate to us that eternal wisdom in human form can gain the salvation of humanity. Today we think of Emmanuel, God with us. Our prayers answered tell us God is still working. Our needs met mysteriously, thrillingly, tell us God is still among us. Emmanuel is here. And when this act was to begin, God chose a woman. And through the Spirit gave her an invitation. The Most High is ready to come upon you. The Holy Spirit is ready to infuse you so that a holy thing born of you might be called the Son of God. And Mary responded, "Be it unto me according to thy word." Today the same Spirit is ready to come upon us. Today the same request is extended to us. Will we allow God through the Spirit to live in us so that that holy thing that will be born again will be called a child of God? Christ is waiting to be formed in us today. Emmanuel is ready to take possession of us today. The echo of Mary's response, "Be it unto me according to thy word," can be ours if we choose. Let us pray. Our loving Father, we thank thee that infinite deity, infinite wisdom, infinite power, infinite presence came to accept the human body as a dwelling place, to make it a temple through which the glory of God might shine through the universe. We thank thee for the story of Emmanuel. And we pray, Heavenly Father, this quiet Sabbath morning, that each of our lives, each of our bodies, each of our hearts, each of our minds might be yielded a temple in which Emmanuel might dwell, controlling, transforming, empowering, so that the light of the knowledge of the glory of God seen in Jesus might be introduced to our neighborhoods, to our families, to our work associates, by our lives day by day. Accept us now, we pray. Fill us with thy Spirit. Make us new creations through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
This has been another classic sermon from the Archive of American Christian Ministries. This recording has been digitally reprocessed from the original audio cassette or reel-to-reel in order to make this CD available. The audio quality was improved as much as possible. International copyright, American Christian Ministries. All rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.americanchristianministries.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There is no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with our speakers and volunteer workers to encourage them. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He's coming soon.